Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Oh, hello, everyone, and welcome to what maybe is a hopeful podcast, but we are going to do our best here on the Macko and Cos podcast not to let this to be a nation of negative Nellies. No, sir. I'm Matt Cos, and that is Bob Macko. Hey, Bob.
Hey, buddy. It is Friday the 13th, so it would be a day if you were looking for negative charms and effects, I suppose. That would be today.
Yeah.
You may have noticed how I'm dressed, Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
My Leafs ball cap.
Yep.
My We the North hoodie.
You're all Toronto.
I'm all Toronto'd up.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because I fancy myself a fairly rational person.
Yes.
But I don't care when it comes to sports. Mm-hmm. I believe my hat helps.
Yeah.
I believe this hoodie could be the difference against Washington.
Well, clearly you need a bigger Maple Leafs hat after last night. Maybe like a Leafs sombrero. We'll get to that. We'll get to me already being pre-angry about the Raptors game. I'm pre-angry. I'm going in pre-angry.
I was thinking about you, and on Monday, how are we going to contact Apple to let them know they're going to need a new designation for swearing?
Yeah.
Like, E is for explicit, and that's for the pods that have cussing.
This is for F-E.
Like, right?
That's what
it is. Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah.
F-E?
Yeah, F-E.
Bleep and explicit?
Yep. So we'll do that, but we got positive news involving SCTV.
And a Martin Scorsese helmed project.
Oh my God.
They're doing a live show in Toronto here to tape. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah,
okay, you know what? Explain. Okay. What's going on?
You want to go? So the idea is they're doing a whole documentary, but they're going to have a reunion section that's going to happen, I believe, at the old fire hall in Toronto in May in front of a live audience where they conduct an interview with Jimmy Kimmel doing the interview.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they'll take a lot of that and sort of weave that through the archival materials. I think Insight Productions from Toronto is doing it. And that's our old pals, John Brunton. We've worked with them before. And if that's true, congrats to them. Because literally, this is the project that every person between the ages of 40 and 60 in the Toronto media has always wanted to do.
Oh, absolutely. First off, Insight. Now, do you got connections? I'll pay, but I would love a ticket to that show.
I got more requests for tickets for this in the last 24 hours than I have for any concert, all of them combined over the last year.
And you work closely with Strombopoulos, who's got a lot of, you know, cool person cachet and a lot of rock stars.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yeah.
If I get a ticket, it's going to me.
As it should. But if you get two tickets,
it's going to my wife.
If you get three, eventually, what number does it have to be before old Count Floyd, Dr. Tongue gets a ticket? At what point do I get one?
I would say it's single digits.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Fair.
Low single digits.
Very fair. That's very kind of you.
Just because I know how much you love them. Should we just dive in and talk SCTV now? Because it feels like with the Leafs getting shelled last night, we should probably start with the Leafs. Now, we normally do a 12-minute preamble about something only we care about.
First off, SCTV, everyone cares about. I would say 80% of the people listening probably like SCTV. It's just self-selecting. But we can do the Leafs first and then get to SCTV.
Okay, let's. I think we should do the Leafs first.
Sure.
Only because it is front of mind.
Yeah, no, it is front of mind. They lose 5-1 to Boston. Your takeaways from the game?
I think the reasons they lost are obvious enough and well-documented at this point. The power play for Boston was very effective. The ability to clog up the neutral zone and prevent zone exits for the Leafs. We knew that Boston was capable of that, and they did it.
Yep.
The first line played great for the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
And, geez, I think probably maybe we didn't give Char and McAvoy enough credit going into the series. Because Char feels old, so he should feel like this is the series where you go, oh, yeah, you can really see he's a step slow. He and McAvoy are going to be a problem all series.
Yeah.
And then the Kadri getting kicked out. And it was only 3-1, and then it was suddenly 4-1, 5-1. Like, it just got away from them.
Yeah, it did.
So I kind of just clipped through a whole bunch of reasons why they lost. And I feel like they were obvious for us to see. What I really want to talk about here, what worries me when teams lose, particularly in the playoffs, is not that they lose. Because
It happens. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Boston had 112 points. Right. They win games.
Right. You got two good teams. There's a lot of luck involved.
How they lost.
And is it repeatable?
Yeah.
Did you lose in a way that you are susceptible to losing?
Yep.
Did the other team win in a way where they showed that their advantage was so great in an area that your ability to resist it isn't good enough? That's what has me nervous.
Of course, because you can say, well, Babcock can make adjustments, or, well, if the best players just play better. But then you wonder, will that be enough?
And can they?
Can
they? Not because of talent, but it's pretty clear that Boston had a simple point of view. Don't let Mitch Marner beat you.
Yeah.
And don't let Austin Matthews beat you.
Yep.
And that was good enough.
Yeah.
And they both had chances.
They did. The second
Marner more than Matthews.
Marner more than Matthews. The Leafs had chances. They had two penalty power plays in the second period. They did nothing with either of them, especially the second one. My biggest concern, and this just sort of adds to what you're saying, is that the Leafs didn't look beyond one stretch in the second period from the Hyman goal on to part of the second period. But for a lot of that game, they didn't look like they belonged on the same ice. Mm-hmm. Boston was just so much better. And Toronto had under 10 shots in the first and the third. Morgan Rielly had one of the bottom five worst possession games by a defenseman this year. And this was the first time the Leafs lost by four goals or more. Last night, they didn't look like they belonged against the Boston Bruins.
Okay, so let's get into some irresponsible speculation.
Sure.
Here. Nerves, maybe? You wouldn't think so because they played Washington last year and they came out like gangbusters. Yeah. But here's the difference. Last year, they were the 8 seed facing the 1, and nobody gave them a chance. And they were a bunch of kids. Yeah. This year, they go in with expectations. This year, they've gone in as a 100-plus point team, and they know that everyone's watching them and expecting bigger things.
Yeah.
Maybe it's silly to say that, but they didn't look confident out there.
I'll say, now, I like old schoolness narratives. I still like I still like momentum. I like heart. I like grit. It gets overused, but I still think it has a place. In this case, no. You know what it was last night? It wasn't nerves. It was the bleeping first line of the Boston Bruins who make you look nervous, who make you look tentative, who make you look like you're not ready to play. You know why you're not ready to play? Because last night that bleeping first line took away your will to play.
Bill Sewer, you talked about momentum. They were really good at making sure that the Leafs never got ahead of steam.
Mm-hmm.
If the Leafs started to pull their way back in, it seemed like every time the first line for Boston went over the boards, they just shut that right down.
Yeah.
And it was like the Leafs could never get a toehold into the game because every time they had to face Bergeron and pals, and Marchand, we should probably get into sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
But they just... We knew going in. We said this in the last pod. It's going to be the difference between an atom bomb that's a front line for the Bruins.
Yep.
And a round of artillery, right? A balanced attack, a round of artillery
for the
Leafs.
The blue wave for the Maple Leafs.
The blue wave, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last night, clearly round one went to the mother of all bombs, the mother of all Bruins.
You know what you didn't hear yesterday? You never heard this line. Oh, Rask is really standing on his head.
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Never had the sustained period, a period of time in Boston's zone where Toronto was controlling the play. You didn't have that. Like, the Hyman goal was great, but what was it? It was this brilliant individual moment of athleticism. Surprising coming from Hyman. The speed, the move. But you know what the goal wasn't the result of? 27 seconds of moving the puck, winning battles, maintaining possession, firing shot after shot, and then getting a goal. You had none of that.
It's a really great point. There just was no sustained attack. On every level, Boston outplayed them. We saw that. You expect they're going to come back and they're going to be better on Saturday.
Yep.
And, I mean, if they're not, it's going to be an awfully quick series. And you and I speculated going in, the only way that this could feel like a bummer of a year is if they got their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
Last night they did.
Yes, it did.
But that's not, they've always been pretty resilient though. When they start to get kicked around, like you even saw Babcock last night saying right after the game, we got a couple of days to fix our problems. I expect they're going to come out and they're going to be disciplined. Not having Kadri won't help.
That's funny. That's the word I just wrote, Kadri, because it's not just what Kadri can do offensively and defensively. It's how much does this impact Marner and his ability? Because Marner and Kadri have been a great offensive force. How much does this affect who's going to play center? Is it Marlowe? Is more expected of Bozak? You know, it's now when you lose Kadri, then everyone else, there's a little bit more responsibility is put on everyone else's plate, and the degree of difficulty goes higher. And for a lot of players, you're going to be asking them to do more than what they normally are expected to do, which, by the way, they could do that on game 39 against the Dallas Stars, but against the Boston Bruins makes it that much harder.
So let's get back to this. What do you do at the second line center position if Kadri's out? And I think, can we just skip ahead?
Kadri's out.
We can get to the hit, but it's going to be at least one. It might be two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I put Marlowe at center. I bring Andreas Janssen, and I throw him on a line with Marner. Marner, Johnson with Marlowe at center. That's my thought.
Yeah, I like that. I think that Marlowe at center doesn't thrill me, but what are you going to do? It's better than moving Bozak up.
And also, you could move Nylander, but my God, you need a wedge buster. And Nylander and Matthews, those guys are talented enough to overwhelm even mighty Chara or Bergeron or Marchand, any of those guys. Matthews and Nylander, they can score on anyone.
Do you want to do rosterbation now, or should we get into the hit?
Let's do rosterbation.
Okay, and then we'll get back into the hit?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know what you do at Plekanec.
Is there a catapult? Seriously.
One of those medieval catapults.
Can we medieval catapult him east on the 401?
Up the 401.
He's a double agent. He's still working with the Montreal Canadiens.
See, Josh George has played his hand back in the day, said he didn't want to play for the Leafs. But Canucks, they learn from this. They're smart.
Yeah.
It's like the Cambridge Analytica group. They've data mined the Leafs and figured the best way to infiltrate it was to say to get a double agent.
Yes,
I love this. It's No Way Out with Kevin Costner. Thomas Plekanec is Yuri.
That is a great yes.
That's not going to be a reference for everybody.
It's not, but for those who get it, that is a perfect reference. You know, he's the Tinker Tailor spy or Tinker Tailor soldier spy, but he's the Kevin Costner from No Way Out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Ooh, that is true. Sorry.
Dominic Moore fell out of favor with Babcock a while ago, so I can't imagine that he'd be going back to him. But boy, oh boy, that fourth line was just a smoldering crater.
Yeah.
And if they're that one particular line that stands, or that one shift that stands out when the first line scored against them, they got ragdolled.
They got ragdolled at the end of the second period.
Maybe some of these problems go away when the Leafs have last change, when they get back home. But you got to play four in Boston.
Yeah.
And so this is just the advantage they're going to have. Everybody knew this was going to be a line matching party.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth line. See, last year with Brian Boyle, it felt like their fourth line problems got fixed.
Yeah.
Right? There was a big problem there. They went out and they traded for Boyle. I believe it was for a second rounder. People said, you know, a bit of a steep price. But still, that's one of the key moves that enabled them to have success against Washington.
Yeah.
Against Boston this year. I don't know how you... Plekanec just hasn't played good.
But he hasn't played well even when he in the regular season.
No, I know he just hasn't been good. Yeah. Like that was a problem that didn't get fixed.
No, it didn't. It's not the main problem or the second main problem of the Maple Leafs, but it is a problem.
And in the regular season, we tend to look past this because you think, there's just the bottom of the roster. We'll work around it. But in a playoff series where everything is so close, if you've got to play 9 minutes at even strength with a bunch of guys who are very easily beatable, that's going to burn you night in and night out. It did last night, I'm sure it will again.
Yeah, and you know, listen, I mean, like Kasperi Kapanen is a good player. It's just, the fourth line, horrible. Just horrible last night.
So the rosterbation, I think the real answer is let's just, I don't know. Do you know any good prayers? Praying to George Peros. Is there a patron saint of mustaches that we could pray to?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Good question. Wait, I'm going to look
Jim
this
Van
up.
Jim Van Horn? You know, I mean.
St. Van Horn? I'm going to look this up right now because as the bad Catholic of the group, I feel like I should know this.
Yeah, you should. You're the one with religion in the background. I've only been to one church service and it stunk. Mm-hmm. The priest talked about of the afterlife like the entire time.
I'm they do that.
God, what are you doing? By the way, Bob, while you're looking that up, there's going to be a game three. And if you want to go to that game, it's going to be hard. I don't even know if these guys can help you. But if anyone can, it is SeatGiant. SeatGiant.ca. That is our Canadian partner for this show. Concert tickets, sporting events, whatever it is, they got you handled. And more importantly, they are Canadian owned and operated. They guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. And they stand behind the customer experience. And more importantly, all the tickets are in Canadian dollars. Yep. No conversion is needed. No hidden costs. What you see is what you get. So go to SeatGiant.ca. And if you want to save money, who doesn't? Use the discount code Bob and Matt. Again, Bob and Matt. You use that at checkout. You'll save money off your tickets. We get a small exchange. We get a small amount on the back end, which helps us because the podcast ain't free. SeatGiant.ca. Discount code Bob and Matt.
You are not going to believe this.
What's that?
There isn't a patron saint of mustaches per se, but there is a Saint Wilgefortis.
Oh, okay.
A woman, female saint of popular religious imagination whose legend arose in the 14th century and whose distinguishing feature is a large beard.
Really?
So apparently she prayed because she didn't want to be tempted to get into a physical relationship with a man to keep herself chaste for her religious faith,
yeah,
and was granted a beard.
Gotta say this. It's really tough being a woman back then.
Mm.
I mean, there's foibles now and there's pitfalls being a woman in 2018. 14th century must have been far worse.
I think it's safe to say it's never been an easy time.
Yeah.
The 14th century does seem particularly...
Seems a little bit harder. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not prepared to pray to St. Wilgefortis.
Neither am I.
Let's just say that he's going to get a game and and roster bait our way through this.
Yeah. Kadri.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the hit. I am of two minds on this.
Mm-hmm.
The easy way to look at it is to say he just shouldn't have done it.
Yep.
And that's true.
That
he
is
just
true.
Shouldn't have done it. However, Chara hits Marner.
Yep.
And clearly they're going to try and... Like, what team wouldn't try to physically dominate and intimidate the small, speedy winger through which so much offense flows?
Ding, ding, ding.
Right?
Yes.
Of course they're going to do that.
Yep.
Now, when Wingles gets in there, he throws a cheap shot at him.
Yep.
And there's no call.
Mm-hmm.
There really should have been a call.
Yes.
Now, Kadri goes in there to get not just justice, but a message sent, which is, you know, you guys aren't going to be allowed to do this.
Yeah.
And it works out badly for them. I think he went in there to drill his head, mm-hmm. personally. I mean, I don't know this. I'm not inside his mind when he does it. But, you know, Kadri's been in some situations before. He's seen a sitch or two.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's innocent in this one.
Oh, no.
But, it wasn't a very physical game for a lot of the Leafs, particularly the Stars.
Yep.
Kadri's that guy.
Yeah.
He did it against Washington. He was taking runs at guys earlier in the game. I mean, he loves, like you said before the game, he goes, I love a building where we're hated. It helps me get, he was ramped up and amped up and ready to go. And I kind of don't hate the fact that his mindset going in was, do not tread on us, because they were being trod upon.
They were. And the thing about that hit on Marner is the hit by Chara, clean. And Chara was engaged with Marner with the hit. The puck was no longer anywhere near Marner's stick. And then Wingles came. And the first point of impact is Tommy Wingles, which, by the way, Tommy Wingles. I can't believe you actually made it into the NHL with a lame name like that.
Tommy Wingles is an awesome name.
Not for a professional.
No way. That's like a name from Top Gun or something.
Okay. No, not at all.
Flying Tommy Wingles.
It's, you know what that name is? That name is a bunch of kids playing spin the bottle, and the girl goes, ew, I've got to kiss Tommy Wingles. That's what that name is.
Incorrect. It's like, okay, Goose, let's go over to the clipboard and see who else is flying. We've got Iceman. We've got Panther. Oh, Tommy Wingles is flying.
No, Tommy Wingles is the one who dies early on, and we move on from the movie.
Yeah, but then
we
lament his tragic passing because he was such a great flyer.
No. He didn't even die. He died in a latrine accident. Labeled, there's Wingles doing Wingles.
Sorry,
thing.
Dude. When people in a sport where you fly on skates, where uh-huh. speed is maximum,
uh-huh.
Wingles is nasty, like the god Mercury.
See, we're going to agree on Kadri. We're going to disagree on the name of Wingles, because actually, I do agree with you. Wingles, lame name, elbow. Got to get the last word in. God, I'm a child.
It was so cheap. Just face washed me in the scrum.
Wingles' elbow went into the face of Marner. And I'm glad that Kadri... I like the thought, but Wingles was low when he hit him, and he left his skates left the ice. It's one thing if you've got to be able to send a message without getting suspended. And I know there's a fine line, but Kadri knows that line, and he did unfortunately cross it. But if Kadri had done nothing, wouldn't we be talking today about how lack of response, no physicality, weren't being tough, pushed around by Boston? Like, that storyline would have been amped up more if Kadri hadn't done a thing.
I was actually expecting to hear the, this is why the modern NHL is full of shit conversation.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, okay, could Matt Martin be called up?
No, Darren Dreger brought that up on the morning show today. I don't want Matt Martin.
No, you may not want it, but we know that Babcock likes a tough team. We know that he believes you got to win a series in the trenches.
Yeah.
And they've got a guy on deck. I'm not saying I would do it either. I would not do it. I think the Leafs are either going to win by speed and guile and skill,
be the team
or they're going to lose.
Be the team who they were in mid-January. The only reason I would
want... Playoff hockey, Matt. The hit ratio has doubled in most of these games from the average of where it was. Like, it's, you can't compare it to January because the game is played differently than January, and Boston is well-suited because of their size to play it that way. So, look, I'm not saying bring Matt Martin up.
Good.
But to everybody who suggests it,
yeah,
this is not a lunatic fringe. This is, okay, do you need to fight fire with fire conversation?
Fair enough.
David Backes was pushing people around. Everybody was pushing people around.
Everyone was pushing people around. And the guy who was doing the pushing for the Maple Leafs is out for a game or two. I get the thought pattern.
You're not looking
Martin.
To Kasperi Kapanen to say, okay,
Kasperi.
Char is getting a little frisky in the board.
Go get him, Kasperi.
Speaking of getting frisky, okay, yeah. Brad Marchand in the lick.
Yeah.
I'm Leo Komarov.
All right. Just a final thought. The only reason I would want Matt Martin is it would drive hockey Twitter and anyone under the age of 35 nuts. And angry Leaf young person to analytic Twitter is hilarious.
Well, and also Thomas Plekanec and Matt Martin on the same fourth line. I don't think that's going to fix the problem.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, guys, don't worry. We found a way to beat Boston. Matt Martin and more Plekanec.
Okay, let me ask you this question before we move on to the lick.
Yeah.
There is a kind of an undercurrent of unhappiness with Austin Matthews, because even though he's come back from injury and maybe people speculated his shoulder isn't 100%, I don't know, he looked pretty good at the end
looked
of the season
good.
To me.
Yeah, it didn't look healthy like, to me.
People are like, well, maybe he just needs to be a little bit more physical and he can't just look to stick check people or, you know, I don't think I agree with that. I don't know that you can really ask a guy to change who he is in the playoffs. He kind of just is who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, Matthews didn't play well.
He really didn't.
Here's the thing. If you're going to do the autopsy of this team, we can talk about should they have challenged that goal by Marchand, Plekanec.
Well, we don't even need to ask if should. He should have challenged it.
It wouldn't have mattered. The problem is Nylander, no shots 5-on-5. Marner was getting beat up. Matthews was invisible. Morgan Rielly was a disaster. You know, you go up and down. That's the problem. The Stars didn't play like Stars, and Boston's best players played a hell of a game. That's why it happened. Let's get on to the fun topic. Let's get on to what Leo Komarov needs to do in game two.
Okay.
Because it's very, very simple. Here's what he's got to do. Early in the game, the first scrum, he's got to take his gloves off. And with his right hand, he's got to slowly caress the cheek of Brad Marchand. And his hand has got to slowly linger around the temples of the head down to his chin. And then he's got to bring Brad Marchand in, and he's got to kiss him. He's got to give a full kiss. Not a dirty white trash wedding, you may now kiss the bride with lots of tongue, but a passionate lip-on-lip kiss. Fight fire with fire.
Right, so like a Don Juan DeMarco, everything I do it for you,
yes.
Playing in the background. Does
yes.
he have a rose in his teeth when
that,
he does?
That would be great. I
nice
want him
touch.
To put on, I want to put on some nice cologne.
Maybe he does it like The Bachelor, where he just skates over before the game starts and hands him a rose while he's
rose.
Sitting there in the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. A hilarious moment, Brad Marchand. Nuzzling up to Komarov.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It
actually.
Was.
Some
funny.
People were outraged by it. I thought it was kind of funny. And his own explanation afterwards, Marchand's, was Komarov, every time he was going off, every time Marchand was going off, he would just get right in his grill and really try to agitate him. And I think that was his way of saying back to him, look, however close you think you can get to me, I can get closer to you.
I love it. I mean, that's, you know, I love it. So
I don't think it broke any rules.
What did it do? It did
right.
nothing.
No, that's what I mean. It feels like, I guess, unsportsmanlike conduct or something.
It can't be. How can it be unsportsmanlike?
I don't know.
Conduct?
In a game where you can ram your stick into someone's face to think of, you know,
yeah,
a little nuzzling seems pretty harmless.
Absolutely. How awesome would it be if Comoros just took it and you know, just go the comical Bugs Bunny on Elmer Fudd. Just get both hands, grab him by the cheek, and just give him the big kiss. How?
Now, is that okay? But you're going romantic. See, I kind of feel like it should be the Corleone on Corleone kiss, where they're in Cuba and Michael kisses Fredo.
I knew, yeah.
You broke my heart, Fredo. Yeah. You broke my heart.
Now, because that would seem more, that's more aggressive, and that
well,
would.
Well, yeah, but you kind of want to send that message, like.
But that's the thing.
Hey, you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
Now, see, you're almost right there. But if you want to get nuts, you go away from, and it makes sense what you're saying, the cadre, or not the cadre, the Godfather, aggressive kiss. I know what you did. But if you go full romantic, if you go up to, listen, Brad, I've been thinking about it, and you know what? Let's do this. Let's do this in front of 18,000 people and try to go full kiss. Because let's face it. A lot of professional hockey players, they would be so creeped out if Komarov went the romantic role. Bob, you want to go nuts? Let's go rom-com nuts.
Matt, you had me at face-off.
Yeah.
Anything else with this game that we should discuss? So let's just clip through the topics really just as a quick way to recap.
Sure.
Freddie Anderson.
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
The defense.
Horrible.
Yeah, really quite poor. And, geez. Boston's defense was really good.
Boston's defense was great. Three power play goals.
The forwards?
Forwards for Boston. Awesome for the Leafs. Immaterial beyond Zach Hyman's great moment.
Yeah. There were. You know what? It kind of felt like the energy guys were the best players.
Mm-hmm.
For all that talk about, you know, oh, Babcock, he just likes his energy guys, and why doesn't he worry more about skill? You got to admit, they got into game one, and all those guys that at various times people have wondered, why does he love them so much? They look pretty lovable out there.
Yeah.
Why does Hyman play on the first line with those two great players? Well, he was the best player.
Yeah.
Why does Leo Komarov get so much ice time? Well, he was scrappy and he was trying to make things happen.
If they win on Saturday, it's going to be so funny. The tenor of the conversation about the Leafs, it's going to just be, whoop, it's going to be mission accomplished. You stole home ice. You did what you were supposed to do. Good job, Maple Leafs.
I think I saw a stat. I'm trying to remember. I got to do the math in my head, but I think it was about 13% of teams come back from two down when you lose two on the road.
Yeah.
Everybody says it's not really a series till you lose at home. Mm. I don't know. Mm. It's not really a series till you go two down, and then it's pretty much over.
Yep.
It's amazing how fast it goes from not a series to being over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's just the nature of a 7-game series.
You want to get an SCTV?
Yeah. Are we actually going to do a top five based on this?
I mean, I put together
we never came up definitively with a top five.
I've got my top five favorite like characters.
Okay,
it's loose. And explain to people the good news. And just what this means for people like us in our life. What's going on with Marty Scorsese?
So the Hollywood Reporter announced yesterday that Netflix is teaming up with Martin Scorsese and a Canadian production company to do a documentary / reunion on Second City TV, SCTV.
Yeah.
It started in 1976, 1 year after SNL, and for an entire generation of kids, particularly Canadian, because it was based out of Canada with a lot of Canadian talent, but all around the world. Like, the launching pad of careers for SCTV was spectacular.
Yeah.
John Candy, Andrea Martin, Rick Moranis, Martin Short, Joe Flaherty, Dave Thomas, Harold Ramis, Catherine O'Hara. You could just keep going and going. Like, yes. they were the 27 Yankees of comedy. One genius after another. And the concept was so brilliant because it was basically a small town cable station and
Mellonville.
And it was like the programming day of this crappy cable TV station and all the sort of inward politics of it and relationships. In a lot of ways, it was a bit like Marvel Comics in the sense that there was like this self-contained universe that these crazy characters wandered around in.
Yeah.
And for a lot of us, you know, we loved it.
Yeah.
Like, it was a holy thing watching SCTV. I must have seen everyone. I can't imagine there's one I've missed.
No. And that'd be weird.
In grade 7, I walked to school with a Bob and Doug hoser toque, and I went to my grandfather's beer stash and I got a case of empties.
Yeah.
And I was handing out empties filled with water.
Yeah.
Going coo 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 coo. Guess who wound up in the office?
You wound up in the office. And I bet your parents weren't mad.
You know what? I felt like they knew they had to do it because you couldn't hand out empty empties.
Yeah. Yeah, the school had to do that to you, but I'm sure your parents were like, you know, they must have loved it.
So after this spiel, and of course, Maddie is a comedy nerd. Both Maddie and I are. But this was even beyond comedy nerds. I mean, this was a source of national pride.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, you can't see it on YouTube. Like, for whatever reason, there's rights issues. It's like the 1972 Summit series.
And most of it that is out there is crap. The footage is bad. Like, I was watching, before you got here, I was watching Count Dr. Tongue's House of Pancakes. You know, like that's what I was watching. Think about this, though. Think about this. I mean, this is SCTV. This is something that's closer to us than it. Like, you know, it's sort of like what Arcade Fire was before they became popular. It was sort of like our thing. Mm-hmm. And there's things that are our thing. Tragically Hip, you know, very popular, but it's so much in Canada versus what in the States. Well, Marty Scorsese, he did a documentary on the band, on the Rolling Stones, and now he's doing one on SCTV. I mean, just in terms of, you've been blessed.
So funny. As we speak, Adnan Virk just liked on Twitter the note I sent him saying, yeah. Adnan, what are we going to do about this? Because he's a Scorsese nut.
Yep.
And of course, as a Canadian, he would love SCTV. Matt, your point is a great one about the Hip and just things that are Canadian. But they did travel over the border. That's the thing. When SCTV, when that group disbanded, they all went and took over Hollywood. Oh, I didn't even mention Eugene Levy.
They all did individually, but the show at the show at the time went away.
Right.
And you know, and when Martin Scorsese is doing it, it's like, wow, one of the best of the best. You know, game recognizes game.
Right.
And that's what makes this so great.
You know, Christopher Guest and all those amazing movies, you know, Guffman and Spinal Tap. He was an acolyte at the hands of, like, everybody sat at the feet of the masters. It was SNL will always get the pub because it's had the long run.
It's had long run. Also just America and had more money and stuff that could be pumped into it.
SCTV, probably the greatest TV show of my life. And the other thing is, and as you mentioned, you're watching like crappy, grainy footage of it.
Yeah.
You haven't been able to revisit it because the clips aren't available in any high quality.
Yeah.
No TV station's been able to procure the rights. So it's not like you can go and do a deep dive on Netflix and watch 5 seasons of it. It was this incredible thing that just went away.
Yeah.
And now we get to go back.
And now we get to go back. We get to Bobby Bittman, Count Floyd. Unfortunately, there'll be no Johnny LaRue.
No Johnny LaRue. I thought you meant in your list. No, live, because Candy was just.
Yeah, Dr. Tongue, Lola Heatherington.
I want to have your baby. Matt and I could just do like buzz lines from that show all day long.
High contestants.
Oh my God. Hey, I got a Phillips out there in the back there, Alex. I can disconnect a buzzer for you.
You buzzed in.
Okay,
no, I didn't.
Okay, is Half-Wits the funniest sketch they ever did? With Eugene Levy playing a young Alex Trebek.
Yeah,
Alex Trebell.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, Half-Wits.
Ooh. Margaret Meehan.
Yeah.
Computers? No, Margaret. You have to wait till I ask to tell you what the topic is.
You buzzed in? No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You calling me a liar? All right, we got to stop.
Disconnect that man's buzzer. Sorry. Okay, see, I think we've probably communicated our passion for this. All right, so we couldn't decide on a top five, but I love this. Matt's going to, what are you going to give? Your top five all-time SCTV characters?
Yeah, if I'm going to do my top five characters, coming in at number five is Lola Heatherington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even a lot of explanation is really needed for this.
And she's it's a takeoff. It's a parody of a real life woman named Joey Heatherington who is kind of part of the Rat Pack.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Number four, Bobby Bittman. Three, I'm going to do Count Floyd. Two, Bob and Doug. But number one for me, it's Johnny LaRue.
Funny, as you said that literally, Adnan Virk just tweeted me. In my top five, but not number one, Johnny LaRue.
Johnny LaRue, Beef and Booze, Johnny LaRue, the New Year's Eve special.
With his cigarette with the long ash, and he's dabbing it onto the table where he's cooking.
Yeah, and I'm missing, I could do half the characters. All the characters from just Days of the Week could be the top five. When Rocco, I forget John Candy's character, but Rocco is going to blackmail him.
Right.
How much, Rocco?
A thousand bucks.
Yeah.
A thousand bucks. All right. Pretty steep, Rocco, but okay.
My friends were 42. At any point, I can just go $1,000, Rocco, and we'll all just start laughing. If you haven't seen SCTV the last 8 minutes, apologies. But all then, right. No, screw you. You should have seen it.
Exactly. I got no apology for that. This news is huge.
Yeah.
You know what? The Leafs can still come back.
Yeah.
It took SCTV 40 years to come back.
100%.
This is more important.
Yeah.
I liked your list.
Yeah.
There is no way to have a right or wrong list.
No.
It's just impossible. What I thought was interesting is how you kind of want to represent all the different actors, though, and mm-hmm. some of their best characters.
Yeah.
Like Rick Moranis is amazing.
Oh,
and Bob and Doug were iconic.
You know what? Jackie Childs. Okay.
Right.
Martin
Short character.
I got to do a new
list. Did you have Ed Grimley? Did I miss Ed Grimley?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Ed Grimley is such a great comic character.
He is.
I must say.
But I like Jackie Childs more. Or Martin Short as Mr. Rogers fighting Julia Childs in the boxing ring. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's impossible.
I really loved Bobby Bittman, Eugene Levy's Bobby Bittman.
Yeah.
Just the hopeless, schlocky Vegas entertainer. And his only... Anyway, everybody would laugh hysterically every time he went, "How are ya?"
Yeah.
Just so good.
I want to go to that show. Good. I want to
How do we get into that show?
Well, you've
got I'm closer to you because I have clout, but I have clout with a K. It's not really clout.
Yeah, but you got more than I do, like production people and artsy, more than the people in TV and film. You know,
what about your wine connection?
What's that?
Can we get your wine connection to get us in?
Maybe. Wait, let me check the National Club because they got a concierge service to get you tickets for shows.
Oh, I'm sure this will be private. I guarantee you. I know the people who are producing this.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to them in, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
I suspect their inbox is full.
Yeah, God, that's gonna be impossible. Anyway, very, very exciting. So
you know what's really weird?
Yeah.
And this, I'm a movie nut.
Yeah.
And I love Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even consider until this exact second that if we got in, maybe I could meet Scorsese. Never even occurred to me.
It's like, get out of the way, Martin. I want to talk to a different Martin.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so who was, before we move on, the single funniest cast member of the SCTV crew from any season? Who is the champion?
Doesn't it have to be John Candy?
It feels like John Candy.
Or is it...
It's Martin Short.
Martin Short.
Martin Short. What I've heard from people in Hollywood and just amongst the comedy circles is there's a lot of admiration for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the one person they all agree on is nobody's funnier than Martin Short.
Martin Short is brilliant in every interview, the Letterman, whatever show it is. When he hosted Saturday Night Live, it was close to Christmas. It was the Sandy Hook one. And God, he killed it. He knocked it out of the park. And then 6 months later, he was doing something for TSN radio. And I just, so nice. And he's there and he doesn't have a huge entourage. He's sitting by himself and I'm chatting with him for a minute. And I could have done 100 things, but all I wanted to do was talk to him about that SNL and just how hard it was considering what was going on in the nation at the time. And he nailed it. And the thing is, that's how you can tell how talented an actor is. Now, not how good an actor is at acting, but how talented is an actor? How do they do on SNL? Just the skill set required. And obviously, he's had 40, 50 years of that in his background.
Oh, and he's great at musical theater.
Yeah.
He's great on the stage. He's just good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
My two favorite, it's impossible, but probably the two or three that I respect the most, Martin Short, just for sheer talent.
Yep.
John Candy, just for sheer charm. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if anybody's ever been as charming as John Candy. And I'm serious. I'm going back to Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
Going back to, any number of people who've just eaten up the stage. But Harold Ramis might be my favorite. He was there just in the beginning, but he's a genius.
He's
an incredible writer.
Yep.
And what I understand, I can't, I'm not 100% sure about this, but from what I understand, he's the one who came up with the twist to make it Melonville.
Yeah.
He's the one to came up with the twist to make it a continuous, self-contained universe. The idea is that they would do something like SNL, but SNL is just a sketch show. SNL is just one tableau after another rolling out, and they're not interconnected. What they gave us, SCTV, was they gave us a world we could play in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Harold Ramis who did it. And if that's true, that's one of the most brilliant creative decisions of my life.
Oh, yeah. And you look at what Harold Ramis did afterwards.
Groundhog Day, Stripes.
Ghostbusters. Or we could just focus on one thing. His character, plainclothes Mountie, or undercover plainclothes Mountie. Hey, and when he's busting a drug ring, and there he is on his horse, and he's like, "Hey, dude,
hey, dudes,
where can I score some marijuana?"
Undercover plainclothes Mountie on top of the horse. Oh, God. And he was, of course, great as Mo Green. Okay, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Raptors. I kind of want to throw this out to you, Maddie, mm-hmm. as a big question.
Yeah.
We saw how the Leafs weren't very good last night.
Yep.
But people felt really positively about the way they played down the stretch.
Yeah, they played great.
Now, of course, the Raptors, they come in as the number one seed. They're playing the 8 seed in Washington. So in theory, in the NBA, that should be a squash. But they haven't looked great playing, going into the playoffs. Who goes farther in the playoffs, the Leafs or the Raptors?
Well, if I have the recency bias, it, mm-hmm. of course, is going to be the Raptors. It's going to be the Raptors because Washington is a horrible team. So I can't see Toronto losing to Washington. They've lost like 14 of their last 21. They openly talk about how this team has issues with character and teamwork. They hate each other. They're not playing the same. Like when John Wall got hurt, suddenly guys are talking about how the ball's moving more and how, you know, they're really enjoying playing together. Like this team is one big passive aggressive, you know, cluster bleep.
My favorite euphemism is people would say, even if they're defending John Wall during his absence, it is true that the Wizards played a more aesthetically pleasing style of basketball.
Yeah.
Translation, he's a Russell Westbrook style ball hog who wants to control everything and it's all about me, me, me.
Yeah. I think it is the Raptors. I would have said this even before game one because my prediction was the Bruins were going to beat the Leafs in 7. That was my prediction on air. And as much as my rage about the Raptors in the playoffs, I shouldn't be angry. I should be enjoying all of this. But if, by the way, if they win game one on Saturday, it all goes away. It all disappears until they lose 2 in a row. But I am going in pre-angry, but the answer is the Raptors.
I feel like the big thing is Jonas Valanciunas in this, and specifically defensively. Because the one thing that frightens me is we've seen how good point guards with big men mm-hmm. have been carving them up on the pick and roll.
Yep.
So if it turns out to be Wall to Gortat and they run that over and over again and they don't have any defense for it, then it's going to be a much closer series than it should be.
Yeah.
We've seen them lose. And the playoffs are all about identifying your opponent's weakness and doing it over and over again until they figure out how to stop it.
Yeah.
So that's something I have on my radar. I'm really fascinated to see this because this should be the perfect showcase for Kyle Lowry to go out and pound those guys.
Yeah.
Because when people were talking about the best point guards in the East, it was always John Wall was considered to be a little better than Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
Lowry was a great story, but John Wall, now there was the real talent. I kind of hope somewhere Kyle Lowry has a picture of him on his wall, you know, almost like, like Billy Madison.
No, Steve Buscemi style. Steve Buscemi, when he's got the names on the wall in lipstick of the people he's going to kill.
Right.
And then he crosses off Billy Madison when he calls him.
Right, exactly. And I kind of hope that John Wall is the first name.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's LeBron James.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't really care. Because if you get past those two, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think that I might have said the Leafs before I saw them play that first game, but only because if they play Cleveland, there's always a chance for a 4 or 5 game sweep out.
Yep. Listen, here's what I want with the Raptors. I just want them to belong. I want them to do what good teams do. I want them to beat Washington in 5 and, you know, have a couple tough moments, but that's it. And if you lose to Cleveland, fine. Don't get swept. Because the thing is, make it a 6-7 game series. And then I can feel better about that because it's very unfair to ask the Raptors to do something that no one has done in the East in the last decade, beat LeBron James. We did it last week. I yell about it all the time. I'm almost sick and tired of listing off all the teams, MVPs, and all-stars that LeBron has dispatched in the playoffs. So just look like you belong.
I kind of feel like you and I nailed it in saying that it has to be the Rocky one. Mm-hmm. If you're going to lose,
yes.
I want to see 2 bloodied warriors in the ring at the end of it, and I want LeBron through his busted up lips to say, No rematch.
Yes.
No rematch.
100%.
If we get that, then, you know, like you say, she's never lost. Like, nobody beats him.
No one beats him.
So if that happened this year, so be it.
Yeah.
I guess it's just going to be a run like that. Nobody beat Michael.
No one beat Michael.
Michael won six in a row, yeah. And that's just what it is.
Let's see. Who ended Magic Johnson? Michael. Who ended Isaiah Thomas? Michael. Who ended Larry Bird? Michael. Who made sure that Barkley, Stockton, Malone, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp?
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. Clyde Drexler. Who told all? Reggie Miller. No, no, no. You ain't winning because of me. And that's what LeBron has done. So let's keep that in perspective. But I will say this.
Matt says through angry teeth.
If DeMar DeRozan has a 9-for-23 shooting performance, and the conversation is, well, Otto Porter, even though he's not 100%, was able to shut down DeMar DeRozan, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I don't want that under my star.
But you don't necessarily have to blame DeMar DeRozan if that's the case, because if he's trying to pass out of double teams, which he will see, because he always sees them, yep, in big games, and if CJ Miles isn't hitting his shots, I think we're past trusting OG Anunoby to be an offensive,
yes,
threat, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rookie wall, or maybe it was just a lucky beginning of the season. He was shooting threes better than he was in college. That seems to have gone away. Let's not look down that road. But we can't have CJ Miles be the Patrick Patterson of this playoffs.
No.
You need him to be the guy who is the veteran, who's supposed to come off the bench and give you exactly what you paid him for.
Yep.
In the case of Patrick Patterson, he was a bit of a Swiss Army knife. Miles, it's simple. Hit threes.
Yeah.
Hit open threes. Hit open threes, the Raptors win. That simple.
But at the same time, there's going to be one-on-one matchups, and there's going to be times, DeMar, you got this. You got to do it. You have ball. Get ball to basket. Get ball in. Get whatever. Just, I don't want to see ineffective DeMar DeRozan.
I've said this in the past that... before we move on, how would you define ineffective DeMar DeRozan, though?
Okay, ineffective DeMar
DeRozan. Because it feels like that's a very
ineffective
contextual comment.
Ineffective DeMar DeRozan at the end of the first half. Oh, he only has four shots. I don't want that. You've got to find ways to get your shot. It's not all in him.
Okay,
it's
but what if, he's facilitating, though? What if he's only taking 15, 16, 17 shots, mm-hmm, but he's also distributing the ball and getting other players open looks?
16, 17 shots and 7 assists, I can live with. But also, when it is late in game and there's one-on-one situations, you ain't going to win all of them, but you're going to have to win more than half of them. Because that's what stars do. That's what stars do in the playoffs.
You see, this is where I keep coming back to, and I just scratch my head. I pulled off my Leafs ball cap, and I'm rubbing my forehead worriedly.
Yep.
Because teams don't win in the playoffs with depth. They just don't.
Great.
Tell me the last NBA team that cruised to the final or to a championship because they were 10 deep.
It is a gray-looking day out there. It's gray. Stupid April. There's my answer.
Yeah,
I don't have an answer.
Matt just wistfully looked out the window. Yeah. It just doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
And also a lot of those kids on the bench mob, whom we love.
Love them.
And respect.
And those guys could eventually lead to packaging with picks to get a star.
100%. But for this year, they're kids. Pascal, yep, Siakam, kid. Mm-hmm. Jakob Poeltl, kid.
Yep.
OG Anunoby, kid.
DeLon Wright, Van Vliet. Some of them are not exactly kids, but... You know, they're not starters.
They're not stars and they're not seasoned. You know, yep, we look at Philadelphia and say, oh, well, I don't trust much out of them because their stars are so young. And that's true. And that, yeah, is the reason why I actually think Miami could definitely beat Philly. Definitely. I actually think Miami's my sleeper team to make it to the final.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even still, like, think about this, though. Like,
winning two rounds.
Okay, but you're playing Philly,
yep,
who I think are a very good team.
You could beat Philly.
Right. And then you get Boston.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
And you get Boston without their two best players. The Raptors have taken the hero's path.
Yeah.
Right?
Washington and then Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah, that is a much more difficult way. Bob, I got to put myself in a good mood.
Okay.
I got to put myself in a good mood
right
now.
Okay, do it, buddy.
And when I want to do it, I like to think of friends. I look at you and I see a good friend.
Yeah.
You put me in a good mood.
Yeah.
And then I think about people that help us out, has helped me out, with my will. And who's been really good at just guiding me with all legal advice, and that is Jeff Pollock. But I want to give more than Jeff Pollock a shout out. I want to give his wife a shout out as well. Evgeny Pollock.
Evgenia.
Screw that up twice now. Sorry, Evgenia. She's part of his law firm, but now she also has her own website in conjunction ePollock.com. And basically, she just deals with the financial stuff. Jeff Pollock deals with all, you know, your wills, litigation, trusts, states, things like that. What she does, she helps you. If you've got to start a new business, retirement, or also you got a kid and you're thinking, how am I going to make sure my kid goes to school and help pay? That's what she does. She helps you out with your finances.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we need that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You
need that. Because I'm doing it right now. And my way of, you know what my whole financial plan is right now?
What is it?
Don't buy everything I want at Walmart.
I think if you go to ePollock.com, you might be able to find some help.
Oh, I hope they're not doing anything today because I got a stack of receipts and a whole lot of regret.
My my suggestion to the whole Pollock family, including Daniel, Elizabeth, and Alexandra, I've met the kids, run. Run. When Bob comes a knocking, you go run because...
And what about Bob? What about the financial version?
Bob is a financial puzzle, but with one piece always missing. Oh! JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. The phone number, 416-777-0088. That's 416-777-0088. For the whole Pollock family. All right. I'm in a better mood. That was a good line. I was happy.
You feeling good?
Line. Yeah.
Yeah, you did pretty good with that. I got a whole bunch of fun I can roll by.
Oh, well, the fun we got to do.
Okay,
we got to get to is what's happening tomorrow.
Okay, well, let's talk about tomorrow. Can I start off with my Saturday and then we'll get to the party?
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know what to do. I'm in a marital situation right now.
Yeah, you were mentioning this. What's going
on? So very close friends of our family, Trina and Joe, whom we love very much, have invited us to their kids' communion. Mateus is having his communion, and it's his first, and we're going out to Woodbridge, and it's great.
Yep.
Now, I was worried, very worried, that the Raptors would get their start at noon, because they always do, and I figured, I'm going to miss the whole game.
Yep.
But as it turns out,
5:30.
5:30. And this thing starts at 12:30.
Perfect.
So I'm like, amazing. And Sandra goes, see, yeah, you can't make it. I mean, what do you mean I can't make it? She goes, well, it starts at 12:30.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And the game starts at 5:30.
5:30.
Yeah.
You got five hours.
She goes, yeah, but think about it. You go to the church. The service is going to be about 90 minutes. Then you got to drive to the hall. Then there's going to be a dinner. Then we're going to have coffee afterwards. And I'm like, wait a minute. On playoff Saturday, I'm going to have to go to a communion for more than 6 hours?
No. No. How old's the kid?
Well, he's...
How's the kid?
He's 7, 8. He's a very close... he and my daughter, extremely close. These are people in our lives that we love. That's not the point.
Yeah.
I'll go. And if the game had been at 12 and this thing was scheduled at 12:30, I'll tape it and what are you going to do? But now I'm in the tricky spot. Like, do I sign off on a 7-hour communion Saturday on playoff Saturday?
No. No, you
But I can't
not.
Get out of it.
Why can't you? Just go for the first part. Leave for the hall.
Do I'm not the, allowed to leave, though.
Do the God
Nobody
part.
Is allowed to leave. Don't you understand, Matt? It's like the door closes and nobody is allowed to go. It's quarantine.
That is horrible, Bob. Well, the only problem, though, is, and like I feel so bad for
And you can't sit at the back and listen on the radio.
Bob,
either.
Listen to me.
Okay.
I feel so bad for you. Okay. Remember when you came in here and you got your cup of tea? Uh-huh. You were telling me that Charlotte, that cough was getting really bad and that she's got, it's not really a flu, but she's got a bit of a cold. Oh, poor Cece. I mean, Bob, you know those schools, they're incubators for illness. So you won't be able to go to this because, Bob, what do you want to do, Bob? You want to get this whole family sick? On the day of the communion, you want to spread it around like you're the monkey from Outbreak? Bob, you can't go to this at all.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
What?
So I said Landsberg invited us over to watch the hockey
Michael
game on
Landsberg,
Saturday night.
Yeah. And going over at 7 p.m.
Right.
So we're going to watch the second half of the Raptors Wiz game and then the Leafs Bruins game.
Wonderful, right?
Tell you, by the way, tell Cece that my girlfriend Amy's going to be there.
Whom she loves.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, sorry, Maddie, I'm just lost on this because, so my wife hears 7 o'clock and she goes, okay, so we might be able to make that.
Yeah.
We might be able to make that. Mm. It starts at 12:30. We might be able to make puck drop for the Leafs.
Wow, that's a long day. That sucks.
What if I miss a period of hockey at night? What do I do? I can't fake being sick.
No, it's not for you. That's for your kid. That's why you have
kids. Well,
that's
even worse. Yeah.
That's why you
get
out of
things.
Someone
has to stay home and watch her.
No, you fake it. I mean, God, that's why you have a kid. Half the time you get out of things early. Kids got to.
So what's the statute of limitations? Because everybody goes through this where you have May rolls around, April rolls around, it's playoff time. Life doesn't stop. Things still keep going.
Yeah.
But when you have big sporting events that you got to check out, what is the maximum that somebody can ask for you to take out of your day?
4 hours. That's
like
one hour.
Like a part-time job, yeah, like a four-hour shift.
4 hours. That's it. After that, you've done your part for God and country and family. And, you know, you have to show up for this reason. We've been poking fun of you over at on TSN Radio, the morning show.
On air or behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes. Right. Well, there has been one or two mentions of you on air as well. But because Bob is, you know, you're...
Mercurial.
Mercurial when it comes to, oh, is he showing up? Yep. Where's Bob? Bob's often late. Sometimes there's a lot of last minute. Oh, plans have changed.
I'm like a hip-hop tour.
Yes, you are exactly. You are a hip-hop tour.
Might be late. Might not even come.
Yeah, so the first game is, what time will Bob actually be there? Which is usually followed with, I won't believe Bob is there until he's sitting on the couch. Until he's sitting on the couch, I won't buy it. It's not at all a reflection of you as a person or your relationship with everyone. You know, it's just how your leaf, you know, blows in the wind.
Yeah, no, I am that way.
Yeah.
It is simply the truth.
It's going to be a good party. Duff's wings, good food.
Believe me, you think I don't want to go to Landsberg's place and eat wings and watch hockey with you guys? Of course I want to.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it sounds like I don't even want to go to this communion. That's not true.
No.
I'm actually really eager to go. I love the family. And I you know, I like it when people get together. It's fun. I'm a bad Catholic, but I'm a Catholic, you know, so I'm not even like stretched out that way.
7 hours.
Right. That's the issue. I'm like, you know, it's like an 18 inning baseball game.
Yeah. Yeah. You can leave before the 18th inning and you still are a fan of baseball.
Right.
You know, 4 hours, you still love the
family. You know, when the second baseman's warming up in the bullpen, yeah, maybe it's time to call it.
Yeah. 100%.
I got a couple things here.
We got to go.
No. Okay. Well, I got to do Wine Spectator.
All right.
And I also got to do a thing called traumatic reenactments. What do you want to do?
You've got 45 seconds.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, Wine Spectator. Okay. So on the cover is Tom Seaver, the great pitcher from the Mets.
Yep.
On Wine Spectator magazine. Right. You know what drives me crazy? He's got, okay, so here's what he's wearing. He's got a plaid shirt tucked into his jeans with a black belt.
Yeah.
The rich guy wearing the plaid shirt tucked into the jeans so he can look like a regular guy look is the most hokey look of all time.
Ah, it's not about being a regular guy. It's about looking like a farmer. If you look, act like a farmer.
He's in a vineyard and he's holding a thing of grapes.
You get more cred in the wine world if
you're a
farmer.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you got to get farmer cred.
Oh, so
farmer
if he goes out in a suit, he's going to look like some jackass that doesn't know what he's doing?
Farmer cred.
Oh, so he's Farmer Tom,
yeah,
the pitcher from the Mets.
That's right.
Got it. Okay. Are we done?
On the Dramatic Monday episode of Macko and Cause.
Will Matt swear?
Leafs, Raptors, will Matt swear? And did Bob make Michael Landsberg's party? That's all coming up on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.